understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked in the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the I. I can't feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the I. I can't feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hands. Listen closely to his words. He is the great eye. He's the eye of the storm,
the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days.
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. He's the eye of the storm.
The eye of the storm. Eye of the storm. We've had some storms lately, haven't we? Physically, and in our homeland, we've had Hurricane Helene come through and just devastate areas, totally devastate areas. And when you look at a hurricane on the map, there's the eye of it. You already know this, I'm sure, but there is a calm spot right there in the eye of that hurricane. I want to say that you may be going through a spiritual hurricane this morning. You may be going through something in your life that is devastating you. I do want to say that there is peace in the eye of the storm. There's peace in Jesus. And he has a way of calming his saints down, doesn't he? And so we appreciate the Lord this morning. I want to welcome everybody. Good to see you. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Of course, we want to welcome everybody watching online as well. That is a ministry in 2024, a Facebook ministry for many people and churches. So thank you for tuning in and those watching and listening even on our webpage. If you're not sure what that is, you can look that up. That's www.calvaryministries.org. And there you can find all the information you're looking for. And, of course, there's an online bulletin there to just keep up with what's going on. Speaking of the bulletin, there's some to my right, to your left. There's some in the foyer. Please stay up to date and up to speed on the prayer request and what's going on there in the bulletin. But we do have a lot going on. I do want to say this. We have our annual trunk retreat coming up at the end of the month. I believe it's the 27th on Sunday. And actually, we have a nice, pretty candy container that Miss Lee Ellen made for us. It's in the office, but I'll get it out here by tonight. And we're asking for bags of candy as donations. If you would do that, just bring some candy for that event. And it's already over there. Wonderful. Wonderful. It goes to show you that my mind is set. I have mental notes when I come in here. And I'm not looking. I'm just waiting to explain. But thank you, brother. So just remember that. There is a sign-up sheet, and we are asking those who want to participate in that evening to decorate your trunk. Last year, I had a Braves trunk. Who would have ever thought that? And getting ready to have a Mets trunk, brother. And hey, don't y'all throw anything at me. But, yeah, last year I was signing autographs on baseballs and handing them out. They're not worth a penny. But but anyway, at least I felt like I was really, really special, Brother Jim, for a little while. And but anyway, so just fill that out if you'd like to participate in that. It's just to give an option to our young people, a lot of young people, even older people, for that matter, are caught up in the whole horror of Halloween and haunted houses and partying and all those kind of things. And so we just want to make a little safe spot for young people and anybody to come through and participate in and have a good time. So remember that on the 27th at 5 o'clock, that will be our evening service. We'll just be doing that outreach in the parking lot. The day before, Saturday the 26th, will be our community outreach. Of course, we'll be going back to the soccer fields, and we had such a great time last time. We're going to be going there, and we're going to be inviting people to the trunk retreat, church, trunk retreat, anything else we may have going on. But we're highlighting the trunk retreat on that day. And so if you want to be involved in that, I'm telling you, there's plenty of people there. We couldn't keep up. I mean, we handed out all the hats from the hat ministry. We had music going. We were talking to people about the Lord. People were praying with us. They were praying with us, weren't they, Hassan? They prayed with me and Hassan. And me and Hassan was ready to run that track after they got through praying with us. But be part of that if you like. It's an opportunity to share your faith and just, you know, put wheels on your faith. Put wheels on what you believe and share the gospel. Let me mention a couple things, and then I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Continue to remember the Palmers, if you would. We were able to make a home visit to them this week and sat and talked with them for a while. And Brother Leonard, some of his results came back from his testing, and everything is being contained right now. It's being contained, so praise the Lord that the Lord can contain. Amen? And what I hear is Brother Leonard is actually experimenting with this medicine. And from what I gather, it's for someone else, but they're experimenting with him. But it's working, so, you know, praise the Lord for that. But Miss Dolores as well, remember her and her heart condition. Spoke with my grandmother this week in my grandfather's home, and he's doing better. And he's on bland kind of foods right now. He had a big stomach operation, so it's taking him a while. But he is doing better. And so Miss Connie, let's remember her. Brother Jim, upcoming surgery, whenever that'll be. Is that your surgery or an appointment? To set it up. Okay. Yeah. All right. I know that was a concern of yours. Not want anything to grow back different. are healed different. So let's remember Brother Jim and Miss Dawn as well and in our prayers. All right, so let's remember those things. Again, candy donation, sign-up sheet, all of that. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. We did not meet in vain, church. We did not come here to be religious. We came here because we need Jesus. All right? And so let's listen to the music as it ministers to us. And then when it comes preaching time, I pray that you would pray for me as I pray for you, that God will speak to us. Save the lost and bless the saved is my prayer. Father. Yes. Okay. You're having a procedure done on Tuesday. Okay. All right. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, it's hard to praise you sometimes when things aren't moving as fast as we'd like for them to, if we're in a storm of some kind. But Lord, as being a child of God and children of God, we can claim Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And while we don't like to hear that when we're going through difficulties, we sure do need that when we're going through difficulties. Thank you, God, for always working on us. I pray for all these prayer requests. Thank you for who you've touched. Thank you, Lord, for getting those through surgeries and operations and therapy and God and all those things. I just pray, Lord, you continue to do that. Brother Jim, his upcoming surgery, his meeting with the doctor, all these areas, our outreach, Lord, the inreach, God, we just, Lord, we want to see something done here. Father, bless our efforts, God. Help us to catch fire so that everybody can see us burn. Burning with the love of Jesus, burning with a desire to be a help to our community, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll just light our fires this morning. Father, we pray if there's anyone here that isn't saved, that today will be the day of salvation for them. And God, for those who may be following afar off, I pray you'll bring them close to the cross. Encourage everyone will be my prayer this morning, Lord. God, we just want to take a second and pause and just say we love you. We thank you, Lord. Help us forget those things which are behind. Help us forget about yesterday's failures. Help us forget about, and Father, you know exactly what I mean. Help us forget about how you've worked in the past. As if that's the only time you've ever worked. You're a present help. You're a Heavenly Father that works now and in the future, while we appreciate the past. And sometimes we do have to reflect on the past, but help us be people of the future. Help us, Lord, to operate out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. We're all powerhouses that belong to Jesus. Father, I pray that we will just let the sparks fly. We love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. We need you. Bless this service because it's the only one that matters. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Yes.
Thursday is the ladies' prayer brunch.
Okay.
And this week, Colleen is going to be bringing us a craft to do, a little pumpkin.
So. Okay. Craft time on Thursday, ladies' prayer brunch, be there.
Okay.
It's going to be great. Thank you.
Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me this morning. Turn over to page number 120. Page 120, let's sing about the victory that we have in Jesus this morning. Notice the words as we sing on the first now. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. the last. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. And it is it's great to hear you singing this morning about victory. Amen. I was sharing with the choir this morning, we need to be very careful that we don't take things so for granted. Do you know that there are churches that were totally demolished from the storm? And congregations that would love to be able to get together and just worship together this morning. There are families that are still searching for loved ones. Yet we have an opportunity to come together and smile and hug and love on one another. And they're longing to find their loved ones and friends. So we really, really need to lift those places up in prayer. Some places that were just totally devastated by the storm. You never know how things are gonna play out in a time of a hurricane. And God has kept us safe, and we're on dry ground this morning. So we need to be very careful just to be thankful for that and to lift these others up in prayer. Do you know that the Lord has given us an opportunity to see the sunrise of another day, and we're not even promised that? So what a gift we have today. What a gift. And we're just here to worship Him and to praise Him and to thank Him for all of His goodness and His mercy and His grace. If you're visiting with us today, you're a special guest. If you're here for our very first visit, we really want to thank you for being at Calvary this morning. And we just pray the Lord would touch you. And we pray that you just feel at home in His house today. And I'm thankful for a loving church. I don't know why the Lord brought this to my attention. I'll never forget the first time that we ever visited here at Calvary was on a Wednesday evening. And we came in and we just kind of fell into the crowd. And I remember the Lord speaking to our hearts that night. And I said, I don't know if you normally do this or not. Brother Snyder, he preached a message that night. I said, but brother, I just honestly feel. Now, we found him over at Victory Baptist Church over off Austell Road where we sang not too long ago as a choir. He was preaching in a revival meeting that evening. And I said, Lord, if you'll help us to find where he is, we'll sure go and visit. And we did. And we had been here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. First Wednesday night, I said, Brother Snyder, I'd like to say something. He said, well, all right, go ahead. I said, would it be out of hand if we joined the church tonight? He's like, what'd you say? I said, would it be out of hand if we joined the church? And we had been here Sunday morning, Sunday night. But the Holy Spirit has always made this place to be home for me. And I know that He has for you as well. You don't go to every church and feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's another one of those things we don't need to take for granted. So we're thankful to be here, and I know you are. And so we just pray that the Holy Spirit will touch someone's heart today. Maybe this will be the day that someone realizes that they needed Jesus as their Savior. Maybe this will be the day that some family would realize that this needs to be home. And we just pray the Lord would use our pastor today. I know he's got a message for us, and we'll move on. But we're thankful to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Choir, if you'll meet me here this afternoon at 4:30, we'll go over a couple of songs for tonight. 4:30, and we're trying our best to get back into full sync with it, so you pray for us. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. And Lord, we don't take it for granted this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would just touch us, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Use our pastor this morning. God, I pray that you'd speak through him. And I pray, Lord, that you would just so engulf this place with your presence that when we leave here today, we'll be able to say that it was good to have been in your house. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. And we'll praise you for all you do here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he has. I've not always been true, but he's always come through. He has, yes, he has. I tell him I'm not strong, but he says I am. And I say I can't go on, but he says I can. Well, I've not loved everyone, and I've not always overcome, but he has. Yes, he has.
Oh, and he has been the greatest friend that I have ever known. And he has paid the debt on Calvary all
what's ahead, but he has. Oh, and I can conquer death, but he has. When I'm tempted to sin and I fail the test again, he passed. Yes, he passed.
Oh, the dead on Calvary all alone. Oh, and he has given me a melody and song. Oh, he has, yes, he has. Dead on Calvary all alone. Oh, and he has given me a melody and song. Oh, he has, yes, he has. Oh,
glad you're here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that the Lord has experience in this thing called life, because we sure know that we experience things in this life we've never experienced before. Done that. He has. I got my mic turned on. Can you hear me? Say amen. Okay, I think we got one out of the bunch that can't hear me, but if you listen real good, we'll try to deliver so you can hear me. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll make our way to the text. Kind of want to slow the pace down a little bit and plant it right here in preaching time so that we can share what's on our hearts. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for everything. God, this is the most important part of the service. And Lord, we didn't come here so that we could leave in a hurry. So I want to slow things down, the tempo, just a little bit. Help us get in tune, get in step with you. And Father, I pray that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. Gird up the loins of my mind. Bring to my attention, Holy Spirit, the things that we've studied and pondered. And I pray that you would connect to the listener this morning. I pray that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. Saints will be encouraged. We love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Mark chapter number 6 this morning. Mark chapter number 6. I do want to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 3. Mark 6, verse number 1 down through verse number 3. And Bible says in verse number 1, Mark 6, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Then verse number 3, notice this first phrase, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. I want to stop reading there this morning. That's reading Mark chapter number 6, verse number 1, 2, and 3. I want to call your attention specifically to verse number 3 this morning. Again, that phrase I called your attention to a moment ago. He says in verse number 3, "Is not this the carpenter?" I want to preach for a few moments with the help of the Lord on this subject, Jesus the carpenter. Jesus the carpenter. I believe this morning it's not coincidental that Jesus was a carpenter. The Lord could have taken up any occupation before he began his public ministry. Although sons did many times follow the occupations of their fathers, but this occupation particularly was chosen. I believe God had a purpose in Jesus spending most of his years as a carpenter. Again, he could have been known for anything, but it was this phrase he was known for in many of those parts. Is not this the carpenter? Jesus could have been known when people saw him as the great shepherd, because he was the great shepherd. Don't turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, says that he's the great shepherd. John chapter number 10, don't turn there, verse number 11 says that he's the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so Jesus could have been known as the great shepherd because he was the great shepherd. But then Jesus, he could have been known when people saw him as the great lawyer. The great lawyer, because he was the great lawyer. Don't turn there, but in 1 John 2:1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a lawyer." We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why would we need a lawyer? Why would we need an advocate? I'll tell you why. Because in Revelation 12:10, the Bible is very clear that there is an accuser of the brethren. This accuser is Satan, also known as the devil. And he's always trying to accuse us, point the finger at us. But our lawyer, our advocate, stands before God the Father and says there's no evidence of any wrongdoing. Praise the Lord for our great lawyer. our advocate. And I encourage you, if you're not saved this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, make sure you get saved before it's eternally too late. Because if you do not, you will stand before God with no representative. And you would have to give an account to everything that you've done with an all-knowing God that knows it already. Make sure you're lawyered up this morning. And so Jesus could have been known as the great lawyer because he was and is the great lawyer. We have an accuser that is trying to accuse us. Make sure you're lawyered up this morning. Jesus could have been known when people saw him as the great physician, because he is the great physician. He opened blinded eyes. He caused deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. This morning, thank God for the great physician. Has he ever touched you in your life physically? Has he ever touched you in your life mentally? When you were at wit's end, you didn't know what else to do, but Jesus, the great physician, came by and he touched you. He could have been known as the great physician because he was. But also Jesus could have been known when people saw him as the great fisherman because he was the great fisherman. He told Peter to cast his net on the right side. And Peter, the experienced fisherman, and he had led the others going fishing one night and they caught nothing. They were casting on the left side. They were leaning on their experience. But they got to a place where they listened to this voice on the shore. They cast on the right side and they enclosed a great multitude of fish. Jesus is the great fisherman. Not only physically in the scriptures, he caught a lot of fish, but also spiritually, he called these fishermen to leave their nets and go catching men. Jesus is still the great fisherman. He will take somebody's life and change them and call them to go fishing for men. He could have been known when people saw him as the great fisherman. But for 30 years, Jesus was not known for being a shepherd. Jesus was not known for being a lawyer, a physician, or a fisherman. But he was known for being a carpenter. The Bible says again in verse number 3, is not this the carpenter? The carpenter. I want to say this morning, this name, this title, carpenter, is reflective of who he is and what he does. He says, is not this the carpenter? And so it's a name that is showing light on who he is and what he does. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the master. He's the master carpenter. What does Jesus do? He builds. He builds this morning. So let me say this. Carpenters, and I know that David Henderson can give a big amen here in just a moment. Carpenters, generally speaking, are some of the most unappreciated workers. Amen. I told you. Amen. Some of the most unappreciated workers there is. We see beautiful houses. We see beautiful porches and buildings and even ballparks, towns and cities. But if there wasn't a carpenter, if it wasn't for the carpenters behind those beautiful houses, porches, buildings, ballparks, cities, and towns, they would just be open fields. There'd be nothing in Powder Springs if it wasn't for a carpenter. There wouldn't be a church here if it wasn't for a carpenter. There wouldn't be any kind of structures on planet Earth if it wasn't for carpenters. And carpenters are so unappreciated in the day and times in which we live. athletes make millions of dollars. I think about Shohei Ohtani that plays for the L.A. Dodgers. What is that, Brother Jim? A 10-year contract worth $700 million? What? $700 million? And so they did the math, and it's $70 million a year. But you break that down, Brother Allen, and it's like $500,000 a game. Wow. $500,000 to walk out on that field and hit that ball. What? Listen, millions and even billions of dollars these athletes make. But if it wasn't for the carpenters, they wouldn't have million-dollar houses to live in. If it wasn't for the mechanics, they wouldn't have million-dollar cars to drive. Amen, Brother Tim, Brother Sal. Amen. If it wasn't for these people who labor and work from can to can't and then some, we wouldn't have anything to get around in and live in. Thank God for carpenters this morning. Carpenters are so very important and so underappreciated. Now, the Bible tells us many things that the Lord did and is doing to let us know it's no accident that he was known as a carpenter. Because that's exactly what he was and is. He's a builder. He's the master carpenter. He's the divine designer. He's the house flipper. He's the life changer. He can flip your house and transform your life if you let him. Does anybody need their house flipped this morning? You know the show, House Flippers? They go into a house that is decaying and dying, and they invest in the house, and they flip it. They tear down the walls. They put up new sheetrock and flooring and kitchens and bathrooms and paint it, and then they sell it. Is that a picture of your life this morning? How's your home life going? You need your house flipped? I want to tell you, there's a carpenter that can do that. There's someone that can take your life, no matter where you are or what you're doing, what you've been through, and he can start working on you and create something beautiful. Jesus, the carpenter. The carpenter. People love watching their favorite ball players. I know I do. Two of my favorite is Acuna Jr. and Harris II. They're so talented. So talented that Acuna has already blew out both knees. Somebody said, well, how's he going to be for the rest of his career? He'd probably gonna be pretty good with two bionic knees. Did you see that catch that Harris caught, Brother Jim, back over there playing the Phillies? Harris literally running back into the center field wall, climbed up over the wall like this, and he was teeter-totting on the wall and caught that ball right in the Phillies' face. Yes. And I pray that the Mets beat the Phillies, Brother Larry. Yes. Yes. Amen. You Braves fans, don't you get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me. Hey. Let me tell you what's more fascinating than a ball player? A carpenter. Let me tell you what's more fascinating than a ball player? A mechanic. Let me tell you why a carpenter is so fascinating to watch. They can take pieces of wood and lay them out. They can get to measuring and sawing and hammering. In their minds, they see it. But those watching can't see it. It's something the ordinary person can't see. At first, it may seem like, Mr. Carpenter, do you know what you're doing? I mean, I wouldn't have cut right there where you're cutting if I was doing the work. It seems like you messed up. And so, with a carpenter, an experienced carpenter, they get to working and measuring and sawing and beating and banging, And it just looks like they don't know what they're doing until something begins to take shape. Brother David is an amazing carpenter, amen? He has built so many things, and I can't really remember exactly what the job was. It may have been something at the house or somewhere else. But Brother David working and walking around, sawing and cutting and measuring and all that, I'm thinking, I'm glad he knows what he's doing, because I have no clue what he's doing. But that thing began to take shape, Brother Harold. And I think, wow, how talented Brother David is. And how, listen, I love watching ball players, and I love watching all these sports and everything, but what's more fascinating than that are our unappreciated carpenters. They get to working. They see in their mind what they want to exhibit in front of people, and so they get to build. Whether we understand or not, they're steady building. Think about Noah and Noah's day, building that ark. What are you talking about, rain? What are you building? He said, I got a word from God to build a boat. Oh, it's never rained. What is rain? Then there came the day when it rained, and everybody saw the vision. And so the carpenter, he continues to measure and saw and hammer and beat and bang. He begins putting pieces together one by one. You come back in a few days, there's a structure of a house standing there. I've never seen so much new construction in my life in Powder Springs as there's been the past few years. Ever since we moved out to Sweetwater Church Road, there's been road construction for the past 5 years. I mean, it's still road construction, but, and listen, we've got paint. We've got yellow paint stuck on the Highlander on the driver's side from where they laid down the stripes and coloring the, painting the road after they laid the road. And it's so aggravating, so irritating. But you know what? Man, we've got a beautiful road to ride on now. We've got a beautiful road. We can just glide down the road, plenty of room. I mean, you know, look at 92 down through there. Going to Douglasville, isn't that wonderful how wide the road is now? But you see, there was a construction part, and it's an inconvenience for a time. But then we see the product. We see the product. So God in his wisdom saw fit for the Lord Jesus to spend his time in the carpenter shop before he entered his 3-year ministry. Now, I want to say that I'm going somewhere with a message this morning. So you hang in there with me. Somebody needs to hear this. All right. God in his wisdom saw fit for the Lord Jesus to spend his time in the carpenter shop before entering his 3-year ministry. Again, this is reflective of what he has done and what he's doing now. He worked and he's working. I just want to lift up Jesus this morning. I want to brag on him for being the carpenter of our lives, for being the master carpenter. And I want to mention to you, if I could, 3 things that he has done and is still doing. Number 1, Jesus the carpenter, he built the cosmos. God built the cosmos, the universe, and world with such skill. Scientists have been studying it for centuries and still can't understand the cosmos. Still can't understand how this world was constructed and this world was built. They cannot help to marvel and wonder at his creation. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. I want to give it to you. Psalm 19, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the space, the cosmos, the galaxy, showeth his handiwork. Every night you step outside and look up at the stars, you'll see the handiwork of Almighty God. You'll see the cosmos, the things that God has put in place there. I will say this, only a fool can look at creation and not acknowledge there is a God. Psalm 14 in verse number 1, the Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Do you know that there is a holiday for the atheist? You want to know what that day is? April 1st, April Fool's Day. Amen. Because an atheist doesn't believe in God, and he doesn't believe everything came from God, doesn't believe there is a God. And so you have to be a fool not to believe when you look up into this galaxy and the stars and all of that, and to deny that there was a maker of it all. You're a fool if you don't believe that, and you have your own holiday. Listen to this. In Charles Swindoll's book, Growing Deep in the Christian Life, he tells how some would have thought how cars were invented. Now listen to this. This is him thinking how some evolutionists would believe how automobiles were made. He said it will go something like this. He said, many, many centuries ago, all this glass, iron, rubber, plastic, fabric, leather, and wires came up out of the ground. Furthermore, each substance fashioned itself into various shapes and sizes. Holes evolved at just the right places. Upholstery began to weave itself together. Threads appeared on bolts, and nuts screwed themselves tightly together to the perfect degree. Glass glued together. The tires became round over the years. Metal wheels popped in. They filled themselves with air. Then one day, the thing began to roll. A person was walking down the street and looked at it and saw the car sitting under a tree, the thing that was rolling or had rolled. They sat in it and said, I will call this an automobile. And the amazing thing, Charles Swindoll says jokingly, these automobiles have been multiplying over the years. And this process is called auto-mutation. LOL. And so his point was this. Evolutionists would have you believe this about the universe. That it just evolved and came to what it is. But the truth of the matter is, this morning, there is no such thing as evolution in that fashion. There was a maker, and Jesus Christ, the Lord, Holy Ghost, three in one, put everything in their spots. They made the whole world in six 24-hour days. And so that's the Lord this morning. He is the master carpenter, and he's the one who built the universe. What a blessing. Listen to this. In Colossians 1, verse number 16 and 17, I'll just give it to you. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This morning I want to say, when it comes to Jesus the carpenter, he's the one who built the cosmos. But not only did he build the cosmos, but he is building the church. So the second thing that's going on with this carpenter is that Jesus is building the church. Matthew 16, 18 says this, I will build my church. Mankind can build a church building, but only God can build his church, the body of Christ. The question is this morning, how does this carpenter build his church? He builds his church out of the saints. Now, I do want you to turn, if you would, for a moment to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. He builds his church, Jesus the carpenter, out of the saints. Ephesians 2 verse 19, listen to this. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, notice this, fitly framed together. That means this, fitly framed together. And we know the cornerstone is the corner of a building. Jesus is the cornerstone. He holds it all together. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We see in these verses that He builds His church out of the saints. He seeks the lost. He saves them. And then He fitly frames us together. He brings some from another community to this community, and they're looking for a home church, and God just, He puts them in. And He brings some from over there to over here, other churches. He brings from other communities to other churches. He puts the people where He wants the people. And I can't tell you the testimonies that we've had from some of our people that said, I was looking for a church one day, and I was just annoyed at the situation, and I just wanted to worship, and I just pulled in Calvary Baptist Church. And here's where you've been ever since. God has a way of fitly framing His church together. He seeks them, He saves them, but then He places them together. And we are all stones in the living wall. And we are growing together to the glory and honor of God. We are growing to be more like Him. We are His hands, His feet. And so the Lord has a way, this carpenter, of seeking and saving and sending. You say, the thing is this morning, I could stand up here and say, well, we just want to pack out the church. You know, we want to fill the pews. You know, we want to be overflowing each and every service. And I mean, to think about that sounds exciting, right? But you see, we want, and this may sound odd to some, but we want here who God wants. We want who God wants. Because God has a way of fitly framing together. This isn't the church home for a lot of people, but the question is, where does God want you? We're all stones in His wall, and He is placing us together to edify one another, and we are growing as a holy temple unto the Lord. There's been times in ministry, not here, but other churches that I pastored, that, man, we wanted people so bad, we just, come on down. Man, I had a battle on my hands with some of them. Had this one man, you know, he said, yeah, I've been saved and, you know, this and that, and I just want to join the church. And, well, praise God. I didn't ask him no questions. I was in my first church. I said, let's go. He joined the church. And every time Brother Allen and I'd have communion, he'd fight me. He'd fight me. Because we didn't use real alcohol in communion. Because it don't properly give the picture of the Lord's blood. The process of a thing becoming alcohol is the process of fermentation, bacteria, germs. He's like, no, there's alcohol in there. I said, no, there's not. And then I ran away because he was a real big guy. He was an alcoholic. One day we were up there cutting grass, and he said, would you grab the leaf blower? It's in the truck. So it was actually in the front seat of the truck, the leaf blower. I opened it up, and beer bottles were just falling out. I was like, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? I said, this is why he's fighting me. He's an alcoholic. And listen, I'm not saying that if you get saved, you won't struggle with sin or even alcohol, because you can. None of us are perfect, all right? It's all the power of Jesus on the inside of us that makes us pure and clean and leave those things behind. But I don't know if he was ever saved or I talked to him about it. I asked him, listen, we want the right people. We want the right stones in our wall here. We are about building a work for God, and we appreciate the past at Calvary, but Calvary's not over yet. Do this morning. You're alive, and you serve a present, omniscient, omnipotent God who has all power. He's everywhere at the same time, and He knows everything. Oh, God, help us know that we are living stones in a living wall, and we serve a living God, and You want us to grow. That's what we're trying to do around here. We've got a coin here. We've got a coin with two sides. The most important part of that coin is the outreach part. It just is. It's reaching the community. It's sharing your faith. Now, we like to do that corporately as a group, as a church. But I'm not saying that's the only time to share your faith. So if you don't come to outreach, don't feel bad or guilty, although I would... it'd be great to have you, but still, you share your faith every day, right? But still, corporately, as a church, I feel like, according to the scriptures, that's what they did. I mean, listen, the Jehovah's Witnesses are out there tearing it up. The Mormons are pedaling their bikes down the road. We need to be out there doing the same thing, don't we? Corporately, let's make a presence known. Hey, we're Christians. We go to Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs, and we just want to offer you a place to come and hear from God and get encouraged. And so that's the mission. But the other side of that coin is having a place prepared for the people to come to. That's not distracting. That is easy on the eyes, where we can fall in love with Jesus more easily, where we can just be able to worship Him and not be so distracted with things of years gone by. This morning we serve a master carpenter, and not only He created the cosmos, but He is creating the church. God has fitly framed His church together for a purpose. Listen to this, church. Are you with me? Say amen. Many today don't know what the purpose of the church is. Now, I'm going back with this statistic a little bit, so just consider. According to Focus on the Family magazine, several years back, when I say several, I mean several, baby boomers several years back, 46 to 64, I think. Okay, so, all right, got some hands up. Now, it's been updated since then. But there are six things that the baby boomers back in those days were looking for in a local church. And again, these are still things people are looking for. Good music is at the top of the list. Social groups. Meeting rooms to have events. A good kitchen. Amen. Ample parking. And clean bathrooms. Amen. But notice, nowhere on that list is anything spiritual. And that's sad. And if that list went that way and read that way back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know it's reading that way today, and then some. And so the primary purpose of the church is to witness to the lost, but also the secondary purpose is have a place to worship with a spiritual that has a spiritual impact. Now, yeah, good music, social groups, meeting rooms, good kitchen, ample parking, clean bath, all those things are good in themselves. But this is a man-made list, a man-made things, and they have a place of importance. I mean, again, that's the other side of the coin we're talking about, is revitalizing, renovating the church physically. But God is building His church out of born-again believers and to have a place where we can come together to worship Him, to hear the songs of Zion, to hear God's message, for have a place that's spiritual and presentable, a place where people could come and there can be conversions and baptisms and church membership and outreach and soul winning and touching our community for Christ. There needs to be a spiritual aspect to this thing. So there needs to be a warm, welcoming building filled with people that love the Lord, that come to worship Him and bring glory and honor to Him. This morning, that's what Jesus is doing. This carpenter, he is building His church. The Lord has built the cosmos. But then I want to leave you with this morning. Not only that, but He's building a city. He is building a city. John 14:2 says this: "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Listen to this. If God built this earth and all that we can see in 6 24-hour days, can you imagine what heaven is going to be like after 2,000 years of construction? I mean, listen, 6 days, 24 hours apiece. He made the cosmos, He made the galaxy, He made the universe, He made the world. Imagine what heaven looks like. I'm reminded of the song, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." Listen to this. "How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be." This morning, it's exciting to know that while we are down here laboring, He is up there building. And this morning, what's also exciting is that knowing that the Lord, the Master Carpenter, He has built the cosmos we live under. He is building the church we worship in and with. He is building a city to dwell in eternally one day. And if He put all that together and He built those things and is building those things, be assured He is building your life also. I said all of that this morning to encourage you and to let you see this and hear this. Let us let Him build what He wants out of our lives. Are you going through something? Are you struggling this morning? Are you fighting with the Lord about something? How about we just let the carpenter take us as a piece of wood and measure and saw and hammer and construct what He wants to out of our lives. But we have to let Him do it. Father, we love You this morning. We praise You. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. For what You do. I pray that You'll give liberty during this time of invitation. Maybe there's someone that needs to come and get saved so that they know that heaven will be their home and they can begin their journey of living out their purpose on earth. But maybe there's, of course, we know there's plenty here this morning that are saved, that know You. Maybe they just need to come this morning and just do business with the carpenter and say, "Lord, I lay myself out here on Your carpenter's bench. Please do what You want to." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come, I urge you to come on the first. We're all in this together now. Nobody's looking, nobody's pointing, nobody's laughing. We are all His workmanship, created unto good works. Would you come this morning?
We read of a place that's called heaven.
Don't let no one pray by themselves.
It's made for the pure and the free.
Our altar team will meet you there.
These truths in God's word He hath given. How beautiful heaven.
He's building a place. He's building a church. He built this world.
How beautiful heaven.
wants to build your life.
Sweet home of the happy.
Would you let him this morning?
And free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
There's some in the altar. We're giving them time.
In heaven, no drooping nor pining.
When the carpenter's working on you,
no,
it doesn't always feel good, does it?
Elsewhere.
Look at that picture.
To be.
That hurts.
God's light is forever there shining.
But when it begins to take shape, that hurt is turning to joy.
How beautiful.
God is doing something in your life.
Heaven must be.
Sing it if you know it this morning.
How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Still singing, have these praying.
The angels so sweetly
He's the carpenter.
Are singing.
He's the potter.
Up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from the golden harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be.
And you want to sing?
How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free.
Amen.
Fair haven of rest for the
Someday.
How beautiful.
Do you know
heaven
this morning?
Must be.
Can we just play softly just for a moment while these are still praying? We just want to give a space for just a few moments to let the Lord work. Maybe you still need to come. Sing one more time the chorus. Help us sing. Still time for you.
How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the
softly for a moment. Brother Seelon, could you just pray for us right now, just an altar prayer that God would work continually? Amen. I appreciate that. And thank you for all those who responded this morning, and thank you for coming this way to Calvary Baptist Church. I hope you got something that you can go home on and go home with. Remember choir practice at 4:30. Choir practice at 4:30. The evening service starts at 5. And so remember that. Everybody have a blessed and safe afternoon this afternoon. And Lord willing, we'll meet you back here in just a little while. All hearts clear before we go? Clear. That's good. That's good. I like it. I like it. All right. Would you close us out, Brother Allen?